This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing and hunting and the great outdoors. We talk about wildlife and guns and all kinds of happy stuff like that. So our producer this morning is, again, Chris Klaproth, who will be taking your phone call. He's the friendly voice on the other end of the phone that asks you for your name and your subject and, you know, where you're calling from and that basic information so that we have so that I know where you're from and what you're calling about before we actually speak. It's a very simple process. You call the phone number here, 410-922-6680. That translates to 410-WCBM-680, which is, you know, our call letters and the location on your digital or manual radio dial. How am I doing so far, Chris? Does that sound about right?
Yes.
922-6680 is WCBM-680. Mm-hmm. Yes, correct. Now, if you have a landline, and I don't know how many of them are left in the world, you know, like one connected permanently to your wall. I mean, you can have a remote phone, but still be a landline. You can call toll-free here, 800-922-6680, if you're still paying long-distance toll charges. The bulk of people that I know all have cellular phones or mobile phones, and the toll-free number doesn't work with a mobile phone. So that's how that works. 410-922-6680. Well, a couple big issues of concern and communication this week. Apparently on, I believe, the 17th of this week, there was a meeting in Salisbury about the 70-some thousand acres of public land called Chesapeake Forest Lands. And the bulk of this land, or a large portion of it, is leased by the state to private hunting clubs. Some of these clubs have quite large tracts, and some of these clubs are quite large themselves. And what has happened is the leases that have been offered basically to be extended almost in perpetuity, whereas some of these clubs have been on these properties for 30, 40, 50 years, that process and those clubs are now in jeopardy of losing their leases. And the way it was explained to me by several people who attended the meeting was that the leases that are currently in effect, no matter what the term of the lease, are all going to be extended this year, through this year's hunting season, through February. At that time, there's going to be a lottery of all the properties that are now leased by clubs. And if you win the lottery, you have the option of a 1 year, a 2 year, or a 5 year lease with no chance of renewal. So that there's going to be a constant turnover of the public lands known as the Chesapeake Forest Land. So these clubs that have been there for decades with dozens of members will eventually lose their lease at the outside 5 years. Well, those people who have been hunting these lands and have been leasing these lands forever and have been, you know, taking care of the forest and watching the game management there and, you know, actually some of them have purchased land adjacent or close by where they can, you know, travel to and stay on the property where they can put, you know, put a tow behind trailer or something like that to stay rather than, you know, drive back and forth or stay in a hotel. These people are upset because they've got they've got some investment there. And the leases are not inexpensive. These leases are sometimes quite costly. So, you know, these, if, you know, you have 30 guys in your club, you might be putting up, you know, $500 a year to lease a large piece of property each. So let's see what happens here. And then the other part of the news is talking to one of the biologists this year is actually a topic of discussion for our first caller. So let's talk to William in Baltimore City. Good morning, William. How are you this morning?
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, I was hearing on the news about certain parts of the bay having dead zones where no oxygen and fish were dying.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just wondering, with all this technology, you know how you have fish aquariums where you have that pipe underneath your aquarium where it pumps up oxygen?
Yeah.
Is there any way they could work it through the bank?
I'm sure they could. How much would you like your taxes to increase?
I don't know. Well, how about if we take it out of the politicians every time they give themselves a raise all the time?
Yeah, nice answer. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, well, remember like Kennedy said, we are the people, not the government.
Well, I agree with Kennedy in that respect, but remember where you live, Maryland.
Yeah, what happened to it?
Boy, that's a good question.
Yeah, it used to be the elbows, and I guess it's the rear end right now of the state.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but, you know, those kind of fireballs aren't getting anything done, are they? Do you understand why the oxygen level has decreased in the bay?
Probably by, pollution or, what is it? I'm not sure.
Okay. Here's how this is going to go.
What
helps our bay are underwater grasses. Okay. Seaweed, basically. And there's dozens of different kinds of underwater grasses. Seaweed.
Yes, sir.
Okay. When seagrasses are abundant.
Right.
The process of photosynthesis for an underwater plant is the same as the process of photosynthesis for your lawn or any of your flowers or any weeds or anything grow on land. Okay.
All right.
Sunlight is needed for photosynthesis. So, the sunlight causes the chlorophyll in the plants. The plants dissolve carbon dioxide from their environment and basically exhale oxygen. The opposite of what humans do. We inhale oxygen, exhale carbon dioxide. So, God set up this great plan where we all benefit off of each other. So, when the underwater grasses in the bay become endangered by a couple of different reasons, okay, the oxygen levels decrease. Now, a couple of those reasons are A, siltation, which means a lot of mud dissolved in the water covering the grasses, okay, that's one. And the other is increased nutrients in the bay. Not necessarily things that pollute the bay, but nitrogen and phosphorus. Nitrogen and phosphorus are found in laundry detergents and chemicals that farmers use to fertilize their crops and so forth. Okay, so when there's an abundance of nutrients, nitrogen and phosphorus in the bay, it causes other organisms to bloom, which are algae.
Yes.
Okay. When the algae bloom takes place, the algae is so abundant that it covers the leaves of the underwater grasses and doesn't allow the sunlight to penetrate.
All right.
It doesn't allow the plants to photosynthesize and receive carbon dioxide and emit oxygen into the water. Therefore causing lack of dissolved oxygen in the water. And when the lack of dissolved oxygen flows along the bottom of the bay, nothing can live without oxygen. No organisms can live without oxygen. Oysters can't live. You know, mayworms can't live. Fish can't live on the bottom. Crabs can't live on the bottom. So when there is what is called a dead zone, that means the dissolved oxygen level is so low that it will not sustain life. So what this does, when there's a dead zone in parts of the bay, whatever life was there has to move to another part of the bay to survive.
Right.
And the past several years, the striped bass that live here are moved from one section of the bay to the other and concentrated. If you're going across the Bay Bridge any time in the last month, the fish are concentrated at the Bay Bridge.
Yeah.
Okay? That's why you see all the boats there.
Right.
Because they cannot survive anywhere in the upper bay. So they're focused right there on the Bay Bridge. Now, what it does, it concentrates all the fish there, all the year classes. So when you're fishing and typically you drop a bait down and it, on the bottom with chum or live line, you catch a rockfish. No, you're catching catfish because the catfish have been driven out of the Chester and the other upper bay rivers, and they're concentrated where there's oxygen.
Yeah.
Okay, so to catch a rockfish, you got to go weightless with your bait, so you're in the top few feet of the water column. So there you'll catch a rockfish, but what's happening is you're catching so many small rockfish, and the water temperature is so warm, even if you're not hooking, the hook mortality doesn't get them in the throat. You take them out of the water for a second, you unhook them, or even unhook them in the water, the stress level, plus the water temperature can stress that fish to the point where it does not survive.
Yeah, it goes into shock and dies.
Exactly.
Yes.
So that's what the danger of a dead zone is in the bay, and I hope my biologist friends will correct me if I'm wrong. That's for sure.
All right, thank you, science teacher.
Well, I'm not a science teacher. I'm just trying to, try to keep up. But that was that was one of the things I heard this week from a fellow that I talked to that worked at the oxygen lab Oxford lab. He was very concerned about the dead zones in the bay, and he was going fishing. He was going to see what was going on out there. So there you go.
With all this stuff they have now, can't they dissolve it?
Oh, it would be if they would solve just the siltation problem coming through the Conowingo Dam and the infrastructure as far as, the gray water, that goes into the bay, which is, from all our bathroom, all our washing machines and so forth, because that's where the phosphorus and nitrogen in. A lot of it is in our laundry detergents and our cleaning agents and so forth. If they could figure that situation out, instead of blaming the poor farmer and chicken crap and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't really hurt that bad.
Okay. No, it's the rest of us. It's the rest of us. So,
yeah,
right. Impervious surfaces, all the parking lots, all the shopping malls, all the highways and so forth where all this stuff washes into the bay. There's nothing that doesn't go through any any kind of treatment plan or anything like that.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand, because they're worrying about taking all our businesses and our science away. Remember when we were kids, we had Popular magazines.
Oh, Popular Science. Yeah, Popular.
Science,
I get it. Sure.
Yeah, I was into all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Omni.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. Maybe you could be a spokesman for the Bay.
I'll leave it to the professionals. I'd rather stay on the sideline and work.
All right, brother. Well, I appreciate the call, and I thank you for bringing that subject up.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Bye-bye.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye. Dan in Rushtown. Morning, Dan.
Morning, Alan. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm great. Hey, I wanted to...
Hey, are you... You got me on speaker?
Yes, sir.
That's bad. Bad transmission.
Well, let's try it. I wanted to make a comment on the Chesapeake land leases. I sympathize with the people who are now looking to lose leases that they've had for many years and have established clubs and whatever. I'm very fortunate. I have a number of places that cost me a minimal amount of money to hunt, and I have exclusive rights to it. But I can understand. I would be really upset if I lost those. But there's another side of the argument. I'll make an analogy that isn't perfect, but it might apply. What if the state, instead of having a drawing for bear hunting permits every year, just gave them out to a particular group of people, and they continually gave them out to the same people every year, thus shutting out all other Maryland bear people who wanted to hunt bears?
That's a very good analogy. That's a very good analogy. You're absolutely right. Now, here's where I have a little bit of a question about this, okay? All of a sudden, according to the people at the meeting, the Attorney General has decided that Maryland is not allowed to lease, not allowed any leases to extend past 5 years. So this is kind of new to me. And I haven't had enough time to investigate it. I've been really wrapped up with the Crab magazine this week, and that's not an excuse, that's a reason. But there are people reaching out to me. One fellow called me yesterday. I've had several emails on this subject. And so we really have to figure out if that is true, that a lease cannot, a state lease to on land cannot extend past 5 years. What about the oyster leases?
Yeah, well, I know there are other leases on historic properties that have extended indefinitely, where
yes.
people are allowed to lease the property and live there. And
yes. Yes.
So I would question that Attorney General's decision.
And I think that's where it's going. Now, here's the issue. Okay, if this may require legislation to fix this, if it needs to be fixed, because here's what's going to happen. The public is going to become more and more involved. You know, I'm not sure I would bid on a one-year lease on a piece of property. You know, I mean, and I think some of these tracts are going to be turned into total public hunting land, which means anybody has access, just like the 700 acres in Cecil County that adjoins the property that I hunt, or, you know, any of the other public hunting areas around the state. Here's what happens in that situation. The people that have those leases say, I don't want public hunting next to me. Well, it's not your land. You're leasing the land. Yeah, but I don't want anybody wandering in on land next to me. Well, that can happen on private or public land, depending on, you know, what the private landowner allows to happen. I mean, if the private landowner next to you has 50 people in his family that want to come in and hunt the first day of deer season, guess what? You have no say. But I think this is Alan's speculation, okay? This is my opinion. This is nobody else's. This is my speculation. The revenues from hunting licenses in Maryland have declined so much over the past three decades that any opportunity that the department has to recruit new hunters into the field, they're going to take. And by opening more public land, giving people more of an opportunity to hunt, is a way in their mind that they can do this. Now, what's going to happen to those hundreds of men in those hunting clubs that already lease the land and buy their licenses and hunt the land and have been doing so for decades? Are they going to throw up their hands and say, well, I don't have any place to hunt anymore, I'm quitting? What's the trade-off?
Well, there's another trade-off, too, and that is opening those up for public hunting may be detrimental to good deer management.
No question. No question, because if I'm only there for a year, what do I care if I throw my trash around, or what do I care if I put, you know, permanent tree stands up and leave them and let them for the next guy? You know, it's public land. It's not your land. You can't do with it what you want even if you lease it. Okay? So you've got to be a steward of the land, and that's the argument that these hunting clubs have. We've been good stewards of the land. We've been good neighbors. We've been good game managers. We've taken care of the property because we realize, you know, how valuable it is.
Well, that's right.
You know, it's a very, very difficult situation to deal with. And why now? You know, I don't know why now. I'm just throwing my opinion in there.
Yeah, it's a tough decision. I'd hate it would take a Solomon to make that just for everyone.
Let me say this, okay? We were involved, the Maryland Hunting Coalition, was involved 2 years ago in the General Assembly trying to stop what we call an agricultural deer cooperator permit, trying to prevent permits from being issued to farmers to shoot deer at night. There are two laws on the books that do not allow people to shoot deer at night. We went to the Attorney General. We went beyond the Attorney General. We went as far as we could possibly go on that issue, to study that issue, to get some rulings on that issue. And the Attorney General's office said, hey, under this authority, whatever the COMAR authority is, DNR has written the regulations so broadly that they can do whatever the hell they want with this deer herd. Forget the laws. Now, how does that work? How does it work when you pass a poaching law that is mandatory penalties for people who poach? Okay? And the judge looks at it and goes, This is under the Eighth Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. This is excessive punishment. This doesn't fit the crime. This guy, you DNR cops, you don't have a police, even though they found the guy with five cut off buckheads in his truck, and trespassing with a muzzle loader on private property he didn't have permission on in archery season. Oh no, you can't punish this guy for poaching. Huh? Does this make any sense to you?
No, not at all.
I mean, look, we're beating our head against the wall here as hunters in Maryland. Trust me, we are. I wish I had a better answer.
Well, I wish I did too. It's tough on people on both sides.
Right. And here's the sad truth about it, okay? Everybody complains, okay? Very rarely does anybody try to take a course of action. And if you say, we have a possible solution for you, but it will cost X dollars to get this done, oh my gosh, that's way too much money. We can't afford that. You can't afford it? Okay, you're already affording $15,000 for your lease. And if you and the rest of the presidents of these clubs get together and put together a little fund, maybe something can be done. Maybe you can hire somebody who knows what they're doing, who has some power with the Forestry Service, with the Department of Natural Resources, with the General Assembly, and get something done. Oh, we can't possibly do that. Okay. Sorry.
Sounds like good work for Bill Miles.
I think it's excellent work for Bill Miles. But I don't believe Bill Miles would engage in any of a project that this big that involves the entities that he already has juice with, like the forestry people, like the Department of Natural Resources, like the General Assembly, without getting paid for it. And I wouldn't either. I wouldn't either. So, appreciate it, Dan. Thank you so much.
Okay, Alan, you have a good weekend.
You too, Dan. Take care.
So long.
Hey, don't forget to apply for your bear permit.
Well, it may interfere with my Colorado elk hunt.
Oh, well, okay. You take care, buddy.
We'll,
thanks.
We'll see. So long.
All right, bye-bye. Good man, Dan. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, Alan.
How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Let's talk about Chesapeake Outdoors.
Let's do that.
Chesapeake Outdoors. They got all their trolling tackle on sale, 40% off. You want to go into trolling tackle business? Go and make them an offer. They'll sell it all to you. Trolling rods are 20% off. Brinkman, is it Brinkman? What's in it? No, Bradley Smokers, 20% off. Now, I'll tell you what, barbecue season's here. And, man, I'll tell you, I'm learning to use a smoker on my grill. But if I had one of these Bradley Smokers, man, that thing would be going all the time. I mean, I like smoked ribs. I'm learning how to do it and smoked meat and smoked chicken and, you know, that type of thing. But if you got something that'll do it, I know somebody that has one of these things and they use it weekly, a couple times a week, and they love it. 20% off on the Bradley Smokers. So make sure you check that out. Now look, Yeti coolers, Costa sunglasses, Bubba Blade knives, and archery season, believe it or not, is not that far away. It's time to be practicing. You can pick up a new Matthews Vertex bow. The Mission crossbow, the new Sub 1 XR, the new Raven R26 or R29. And if you're looking for a bargain, all the Hoyt bows are on clearance sale right now at Chesapeake Outdoors. So if you need anything for fishing, anything for crabbing, anything for archery or hunting, stop by Chesapeake Outdoors. It's located right off Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road on Kent Island, just across the Bay Bridge. Easy to get to. Phone number is 410-604-2500. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number one, carrying nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner, truck gear and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex. Why do you want me to talk about Bay Country Bakery?
Why not?
That's the question right there. Why not? Exactly. Hey, Bay Country Bakery. I have talked to a number of listeners who have been to Bay Country Bakery on this side of the Bay Bridge and on that side of the Bay Bridge, including you, Chris, who sampled their wares.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes, indeed. You can't buy a better donut.
No.
Nope.
No, without question. They are the best.
Their cupcakes and cakes are good.
That, too.
They donated one. They donated one for an auction.
Mm-hmm.
For us.
I remember.
And you were at our wedding reception.
Yes.
They did our cake and some cupcakes for the wedding reception mm-hmm. as well. So, that's enough of an endorsement. Just you and me, right?
Exactly.
Because we have, you know, we have the creds, right?
That's right. We've got street cred with their
grills. We got the creds and, you know, the folk out there can listen and, you know, I got it. Anyway, when I'm on Route 50 and I'm going to the beach or going that way down through Cambridge, which isn't far from my house. I've been known to make a special trip to Bay Country Bakery. I stop. And they're located at 2951 Coastal Highway, and that's just through Cambridge on the other side. On the right-hand side, you look for the big pink donut on the side of the building. They serve lunch from 6 to 11 every day, all day Saturday. They're closed Sunday. Lunch from 11 to 2. And all day Saturday. What else is there to say other than to talk about Dave and Gina Levy? Trained chefs. They do produce the best bread and cookies and pastries and donuts. That's it. Bay Country Bakery. Check them out on Facebook. See their website, Bay Country Bakery. And be sure to stop by and sample the donuts and say hello. Maybe you'll see Robin and me there, or Chris, or Captain Don, or Chuck and Diane, or, you know, anybody.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680, WCPM.
WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. First two callers talked about the two subjects I was going to address today, and we thank you them for that. So if you'd like to talk about that or anything else, we'd be more than glad to talk to you. Have you been out to the Bay Bridge? I mean, who hasn't? Who hasn't? The fish are just jacked up there. I mean, they're all concentrated in that one little area, and it all has to do with dissolved oxygen. You know, last year it was Tolchester Lumps. The year before that it was... where was it? Bloodsworth Island or somewhere. I mean, you know, Bloody Point. I can't remember all these places. But when you find them, you're going to find them because they've got nowhere else to go. Crab situation. Lower Bay's it. Mid Bay's it. No crabs up here. That's hurting the Upper Bay crab businesses as well. It's funny because we're still buying crabs from all sources. We're buying crabs here in Maryland from Texas, from North Carolina, from Virginia, from Delaware. Louisiana has had 2 feet of rain. I don't know how much their crabbing has contributed this year, but probably as much as normal in the early season. But our dealers are still paying about $140 a bushel for their crabs. And that's at the dock. That's not out to your local crab restaurant where it's more. So, you know, if you're wondering about the price of crabs and crab meat, that's the reason. Now, we did hear that the Honger River and the Lower Bay area in that section, Dorchester County and so forth, is doing pretty well with the crabs. But those crabs are primarily going to the Dorchester County picking houses, which there are 5 or 6 of them right in Dorchester County. So, you know, the competition for those crabs is strong. And you'll see that in the forms of crab meat. Now, the good news is that I can't remember the name of the number, the HB2 whatever visa, program has been helped this year. We do have an influx of crab pickers this year, so the picking houses are able to function pretty much at full capacity. And there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them on Hooper's Island, and 2 more in Cambridge, and I can't remember the rest. 6 of them on Hooper's Island and also in Cambridge. So, you know, Dorchester County's the crab meat capital of Maryland, and Crisfield might be the blue crab capital, but the crab meat capital, the crab picking capital is Dorchester County and primarily Hooper's Island. So, you know, easy access to the crabs, easy access to the docks, easy access to the picking houses, and that's how that works. So there are plenty of crab pickers here to pick the crabs. We just need the crabs to pick. Sounds like an old tongue twister nursery rhyme, huh?
Exactly.
How many crabs could a crab picker pick if a crab picker could pick crabs? Yeah. Lots of them, I can tell you that. All right, here's a question. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Let's throw this out to our listeners. Maybe a call-in, not a contest or anything like that, but just, you know, a little trivia thing. How many pounds of crab meat are picked out of an average bushel of crabs? And give me a range, X to X, because it does vary a little bit. I don't know if you know this or not, but crabs are sold from the boat to the dock by the pound, not by the bushel, not by the piece, by the pound. So you want that bushel to weigh 45 pound, and that's how the crabbers get paid, is based on a 45 pound bushel. Okay? So that's all kind of, you know, inside baseball stuff, but that's how crabs are sold at the dock. Then they're sold to the retailer, your local crab restaurant, by the bushel or by the box. The box is packed on site at the water, at the wholesaler, and shipped to Maryland via truck from whatever port. And that can be North Carolina, that can be Louisiana, that can be Texas. There are Marylanders who drive to Texas every day, drive to North Carolina every day, drive to Virginia every day, drive to Louisiana, you know, every couple days, and pick up crabs to be brought back to Maryland. There are trucks that come in every single day, tractor trailer loads of crabs that come into Baltimore every single day, and dealers from all across the state will go and pick up their crabs. And so these crabs are sold in wooden boxes or cardboard boxes, not necessarily wooden bushels. Okay? So it's a fascinating market. A lot of moving parts, you know. And I'm learning it. I've been learning it for the last 7 years. This will be the 8th year we're doing Maryland Loves Crabs. And it's always changing. It's always changing because it's a living creature, and it requires certain living conditions like we have here in our bay. And I think the number of crabs estimated to be in the bay is 594 million or something like that. Crabs altogether, which includes juveniles and females and males and so forth. The female, according to the Winter Dredge Survey, the female population increased something like the breeding age females increased something like 30% over last year. But, you know, the numbers have not been good for a while. So if you want to talk about crabs, we'll talk about crabs. You want to talk about Chesapeake Forest, we'll talk about Chesapeake Forest. You want to talk about the groundhog eating your broccoli? You can, you know, whatever you want to talk about. Our lines are wide open, 410-922-6680. But the question remains, come on, listeners, what are your guesses? How many pounds of crab meat get picked out of a typical 45-pound bushel of crabs? How much of that is meat? How much of that is discarded? Hello. By the way, on Chesapeake Forest lands, you can go online and find the proposal. It's a 37-page PowerPoint. If you'd like to print that out, you're welcome to do so. There's a public comment page on there. Just Google Chesapeake Forest. If you need the link, I'll be more than glad to send it to you. Just request it via email, and I'll take care of that for you. So 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Email is ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. I'll send you the link. You can look at the proposal. You can make your comment. You know, double-edged sword. Bad for the people who've been leasing the properties. Good for people who want to increase public hunting opportunities. The question is, will it result in what the department hopes it does? I think it's going to result in a lot of bad feelings, but that's me. You know, I'm an optimist. Where's Mark? Oh, he's not ready yet. Okay. We'll check the email while we're doing here. Ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. I'm typing in my own email. There we go. There's Mark. Good morning, sir.
Hey, how are you?
Well, how are you?
Good. Interesting observation about the fishing boats all lined up at the bay. I went over there the other day.
Yeah.
Going to meet with the builder in Delaware.
Yeah.
And I was surprised by the congestion. There were so many boats around the Bay Bridge and no boats anywhere else.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's concerning. It's, hey, great fishing there. You know, people are catching fish and so forth. But, is it a good thing? No. It means that there's no oxygen in the upper bay. And some of the captains up there in Rock Hall and out of that area are probably just suffering, I would imagine. But I do know that that's where they're going when they pull out. That's where they're taking their clients and so forth. I mean, you've seen the charter boats there. And they're coming up from the middle of the bay. They're coming down from the upper bay, and they're all concentrating on those fish, you know. And it's not just rockfish. That's the surprising part. You probably catch, if you fish for them, you probably catch more catfish than you would rockfish, and bigger and better fish, and more tasty, in my opinion.
I was very surprised to read in the paper that these blue catfish had actually been released by the state of Virginia.
Say that again?
These blue catfish,
yeah,
had actually been stocked by the state of Virginia.
That's true.
And not anticipating so much rain that the catfish would be able to leave their rivers and enter the bay and travel.
I got an email from a friend that I've known for 20-some years the other day. And he said, I've been hearing about these blue catfish. And he said, I own a little piece of property over in Marshy Hope Creek, or leased it or whatever. He said, so I thought I'd go try for some of these catfish. So I cut some white perch, used cut white perch. He had a bag of catfish. I mean, big fish now, 10, 15, 20 pounds.
They're big.
They're huge. They're huge. And I remember back when I was at the big box down there in Arundel Mills, we had a state record come in on Easter weekend. The guy had been fishing at Mattawoman Creek, and he called and he said, I got this fish alive in the live well. I want to bring it to, you know, the shop and see if you guys will put it in the big tank. So I'm like, okay, Easter weekend, what do I do? So I was able to raise somebody in headquarters in Missouri. And got the all clear to bring this fish in. We called our fish guy that took care of the tank at the time. And guess what? That state record, I don't know, 82-pound catfish wound up in the tank down there at the Arundel Mills for a while. But it was in quarantine for 3 months, something like that, in a tub above the aquarium, in the room above the aquarium, you know, where it was kept dark and fed and, you know, made sure there was, you know, medicated. There was nothing going on with it. And I remember when the guy walked up the steps with this big catfish, you know, and put it in this tank. And then we watched it for months and finally released it into the tank. It was a big deal. But that was a blue catfish that was over 80 pounds. And then the record's been eclipsed I don't know how many times, not only in the Mattawoman Creek and in the Potomac, but also in the James River and in Virginia and so forth. So, yeah, that's, you know, good intentions, you know?
Yeah, and this wasn't a case. It's not like the snakehead where nobody knows who released them into the wild.
But, right.
But this was a case where it was officially sanctioned. The state of Virginia did.
Yep, exactly right. You're exactly right. And, you know, be careful what you wish for.
Well, here's the other question. It's really kind of existential. How did the bay go so bad so fast?
It didn't. It's been going bad. We just haven't been heeding the warnings. We just have not been heeding the warnings. You know?
Well, it's not.
That's pretty much it.
Okay.
I mean, that's pretty much it. It just... it's an ongoing situation where you cannot stem the flow of nutrients into the bay with the rotten infrastructure that we have. Okay? The infrastructure, how old's the sewage system in Baltimore City? 100 years old or more?
Older than that.
Obviously. Exactly. Exactly. You know, we keep paving parking lots. We keep, you know, building highways. We keep having impervious surfaces that just keep dumping this bad stuff into the bay. I mean, industry, let's not even talk about industry, but farmers are farming more efficiently now. You know, they're not even hedgerow to hedgerow anymore. They're fence to fence. You don't find any hedgerows. You know, so more land, more crop, more yield, more chemicals, more, you know, more production. What does that mean? That means more stuff flows into that big ditch that runs through the middle of our state. I mean, how many rivers feed the bay? 13? Look at all the development along all the rivers. Okay? Look at the townhouses that go up. Look at the marinas go up. Look at all the, you know, everything that gets in from that direction. And then the big open sewer at the very top coming through the Conowingo.
I thought you were going to say the city of Baltimore, but.
No. I said at the top.
Yeah, okay.
At the top. That's in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, but you got Washington feeding the Potomac. You got Baltimore feeding the Patapsco. All going right into the bay, and it's just, you know, I don't know if science, technology, engineering, or anything can actually get ahead of it at this point. You know, I like the guy's idea about putting a big pipe with running bubbles down through the middle of the bay to oxygenate the bay, but, you know, the question is, who's going to pay for it? Who's going to pay for the infrastructure? Ultimately, we're going to pay for it. But right now we're paying in a different way. We're paying with decreased water quality. We're paying with decreased resources. We're paying with increased prices for fish and crabs and the products that the bay produces and so forth. So, you know, how do you solve that? Talk about the oysters, you know, oysters in the upper bay and how many used to be harvested in the bay and so forth. And then in the 40s and 50s, that many years ago, they discovered MSX and dermo. They've never been able to treat it. Okay? So when you have an endemic disease in a population, a wildlife population, and we'll just call our oysters a wildlife population, you know, how do you treat it? How do you fix it? How do you fix bird flu when it gets in a waterfowl population? How do you fix CWD when it gets in a deer population? Or EHD when you've got biting midges that carry an infection that affect the deer population. Malaria in the human population. Well, we did away with the most effective treatment for mosquitoes in the world. Thank you,
DDT.
Rachel Carson.
Yeah.
DDT was killing the mosquitoes worldwide and saving hundreds of thousands of lives per year for people that were dying of malaria. And now it's back.
With wild populations, our only hope is selective breeding, and then you release a population that's resistant.
That's right.
But that doesn't
happen. How long does it take?
If ever.
Yeah, right. How long does it take?
Yeah.
You know, there's a Quality Deer Management Association released a picture of a white-tailed deer that was harvested in Louisiana that had stripes on its face that came around like eyebrows and then down the sides of its nose. Okay? And they said, where did this genetics come from? The deer also had protruding canine teeth. Where did this genetics come from? This genetics had to be in this deer population for eons because we still have deer with fangs in the world. What are they called? Muntjac. Look up Muntjac deer, M-U-N-T-J-A-C. Okay? So how does an North American white-tailed deer develop eyebrows and lines down each side of its nose and canine teeth? Where does that come from in generations of breeding it out of the population? Interesting, huh?
Yeah, it's fascinating.
It is. Nature is fascinating. I mean, how does a 13-year locust survive? You know,
they count slowly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, all right, buddy.
Have a good week.
You do too. Enjoy Delaware.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. We have got to take a break. Chris has been telling me, I know, we got to talk about Clyde Sports Shop, right? 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Look, if you want to go out and catch some of those fish, those catfish, those striped bass, white perch are abundant. The rivers are doing great. Largemouth bass are doing wonderful. Any kind of fish, or go crabbing. You want to go down the bay and go crabbing. Clyde Sport Shop has everything you need. They do rod and reel repair. They do line winding. They got all the live and the frozen baits. I'll tell you what, you want to catch snakehead, go get some of those black salties. You'll catch some snakeheads, no question. You want to go for those big catfish? They've got that bait, too. They can help you with advice, tackle, and all the bait you need, all at Clyde Sports Shop. You want to go crabbing? Crab traps, trot lines, nets, seasoning, steamers, you name it. Again, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway. Exit number 9 is Clyde Sports Shop. 242-6108, 410-242-6108.
Beautiful start to the weekend for us here with sunshine, and we are going to get up to around 80. We see some low 80s still. Keep it on the cool side of average. Clear tonight, overnight low to around 60, up to 85 for Sunday with sunshine. Some rain opportunities into the picture Monday. Jeff Eno from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number 1 and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex. New location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex.
There's the music. We ran long. I can't manage my time worth a hoot. Get out, stay out, stay safe.